That's crazy. And what's crazier is, hey, this is Sake Bama Gogo. I should have waited to you reached for your drink. My name's Mal. With me, as always,
Promi.
And Promi might be away for a few seconds. He's going to take a drink of luxurious soda. It's going to be luxurious. It's going to be, oh, it's going to be the highball. What are you talking about now? Yes. So anyway, this is, of course, the Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. I didn't.
That was my 6 second sip of soda there.
I didn't say this online on the last show, which is sad. Right before this show, if you're just tuning in now, we have a show right before this called the Indie Circuit. And I forgot to say, make sure you go out and get the Simple Radio app and make sure you tell Alexa to play Radio St. Pete. And yeah, I guess that's about it. So I almost bought Promi almost whipped me into a fever, but then I realized I had other obligations. Promi sends me a link about a week ago of these little 3/4 size arcade machines, and they're cool. They're cool as the other side of the pillow. Don't get me wrong, but they're these new things that they're smaller arcade machines, and they just have like 4 games in them. They have the 4 Street Fighters, and they have one that has like the Rollerball, and that's like Crystal Castles. Classic, awesome game.
Millipede, Centipede.
Yeah, like so, and they're hitting targets, and the pricing is not great.
Well, that was $100. That was $100 off.
It's not horrible. That's the thing. They're hitting that spot where people are like, it's a little exorbitant, but
it's all done. It's not a MAME cabinet. It'll work. You just plug it in and hit the power.
We've all seen the Raspberry Pis with a million freaking games on them, and you're like, well, I'm gonna play like 4.
Yeah.
Those 4 that are on the
machine, and this thing's done. Yeah. Like, it's done. It's complete. You know, there's not going to be a problem with it. You're not going to have some shady guy as the quote unquote tech from the shady place that sold it to you.
Looking around your place.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where I looked at it and I was like, that's pretty cool. And were I not on the hook for a pinball machine, I might have thought about one or two of them. But then I was also, went out and looked at it. And what happens is with those kind of things, especially, you see that, and you get popped in the back of your head with all the nostalgia. And you're like, that's really cool, man. Because that's like a new cabinet. That's not like, right. I work on old machines, you know. Yeah, they're all so beat up and tired. And you start thinking about all the good things, and you make a dumb purchase because you're not thinking through this.
How many times am I going to play Centipede?
Yeah, exactly. How many times have I already bought Pac-Man? And then I looked at a video, and I was like, saw somebody stooping over this 3/4 cabinet, and I was like, well, I'm too big for this cabinet. That looks anyway.
Like you would sit down to play, actually, to me. Yeah,
if I had a kid, maybe I'd put it in the kids' room. But kids don't play that crap. They're like, that's old people things. I remember the arcades, you know? It's one of those things where you're kind of like, it's really, I have a feeling all these machines in the near, not now.
You're like, I have my real plan is to pick one of these up for half price in about 3 years.
No, there's like a whole big thing, a counterculture of like old people like us, like me, not like us. You're a little bit younger than me, Fromi. That
I'll take it.
Remember arcades, and they remember.
I remember arcades,
but now they're recreating them in their homes.
Yeah.
So they're buying these machines and they're getting them fixed up and they're whatever, blah blah blah, pinball machines and arcade machines. Heck, I'm in the fever.
This is the same problem you have with vinyl, which is that it's become cool again and.
That's those machines. After we start getting old, or we start losing our senses, and our kids and grandkids go, would you get rid of this crap? There's going to be this glut on the market of all these machines that are just going to be thrown into dumpsters.
Probably.
You know, because they're just not going. They're cool if you were there. You know, like. They're not cool to kids. Your kid probably doesn't. He like if I looks at the machine, he's like, "What is this dumb, big dumb thing?" My Xbox was way cooler than this, and look at all the stuff it does.
They might be cool to millennials too, only because it's sort of like a retro nostalgia for something that
ironically
came before you.
In
a way. I mean, like, yeah, my kid, you know, my kid's idea of retro nostalgia is probably going to be something like Grand Theft Auto 3.
Cars that don't drive themselves. how nostalgic.
No, but I mean...
Internet. How nostalgic. There was an internet back then. Yeah. That was funny. Before it ate itself. Now they just get things beamed into their heads. And their head gets hacked. Oh, so sad. But yeah.
I mean, millennials are clearly drawn towards 8-bit nostalgia. You know, in terms of artwork and stuff. Yep. And that's technically before their time. But
It has an 80s sheen to it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's plastic whereas cocaine that, and crazy.
You whereas know, that mean, that's going to mean nothing to my kid.
No, my God, no. Although, I wonder if your kid's going to like pine for the days when they wore like their pants down to their hanging down off their butts. You know, like that fad never went away, though, did it?
Well, that also just turned into people being lazy. I don't think it really is still a fad. I think it's just people being lazy. Gross. Like once it became acceptable for a guy to be walking down the street and actually lose his pants.
Yeah.
And have to pull them back up. I think there was like a line in the sand that got crossed.
That's
when
we as a society lost.
I mean, I think that's what leads to people going shopping at Walmart in pajamas and, you know, it's like for a certain segment of the population, the floodgates just opened at that
and you're like,
juncture.
Oh, man.
If we could go back in time and stop one thing, the pants, the pants hanging half down might have been one of those pivotal moments in our society.
I would choose differently, but. Probably about the same. All right, here's some music.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
Oh!
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
Yeah.
Baby Beat Melody. Like dancing. A white balloon. Which escape from my hand. More jumping, 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 jump.
いつからこんなリズム上がらない下がらない変わらない鮮やかなメラディ踊り出すメラディこの手からすり抜けていた赤い風船染みついたメラディ懐かしきメラディ
Chiruran. I'm always surprised when I see R's in the Japanese language, and there's always a lot of them because they don't say R's. Hanato Chiludon. I played track 4, 6, and 7. Because it's an unknown album, so it didn't come bring over any of the stuff. Oh, my God. Yeah, so that's always fun. More fun was the Jerks cup of pizza gag that I dropped in just before that. I always like the Steve Martin stuff. I think he's one of the funniest comedians that's ever walked the earth. Although right now he does this banjo revival music thing. And I'm kind of like, that's cool, but you really should be rocking around with an arrow through your head and a white suit making funny. But I guess, you know, that's just the way things progress in life. Jim Carrey tries to keep pushing his boundaries. I guess that's what the smart ones do. The dumb ones just keep saying the same jokes, like, get her done. And then you go, okay, that's great. So, yeah. Have you gotten a chance to see Moana yet? Moana?
You mean the movie that came out like a year and a half ago?
Yeah. Okay. I've watched it.
I've got a 6-year-old, dude. I own it.
You know, it's so funny to see The Rock. That one song cracks me up, that You're Welcome.
Yeah. And thank you!
Only because it's The Rock singing it. And if you don't know who The Rock is, he's the highest paid actor in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And you go, wow. That was just like, he is the highest paid actor in Hollywood and the highest paid in ever. And good on him. I mean, don't get me wrong. I always thought he was very charismatic and very funny. And I've never seen him in a movie that I said, oh, he's terrible. So, he has it. He has that, whatever you want to say, the spark or the presence, the charisma. He's not just a big jockey, big dude, you know? So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. He's not, not to disparage Arnold, but yeah,
no way.
He's, you know, he actually would not have worked as the Terminator because he's got too much personality.
Exactly. I mean, Arnold has a range. He knows what he's doing. He knows his world and he stays in it.
Exactly.
And he's not going to push.
And the reason things like Brothers or Twins and Kindergarten Cop work is because they're basically playing off that limited range
for comedy. And they brought in a strong second.
Yeah.
You know.
They do these things, you know, like...
It's calculated.
Even in the comedies, it's calculated with him.
Oh, of course. And that's fine, you know. But, you know, as far as The Rock, he just was always that super presence. Super, I don't know how to say it.
And like, it's funny because when you see old stuff, you know, like I know when he was originally branching out into acting.
Yeah.
It raised a lot of eyebrows, you know, not, you know, no pun intended.
No pun intended.
But yeah, pun fully intended. And people were like, yeah, that's not going to work. And it's because you didn't know, you know, like he was playing a character doing that. And that character is all they saw.
Yep. That's like, well, people said that, remember, there was Heroes had Skyler. I forget what the guy's real name is.
Okay.
And he was this horrible, hated person. He was one of the worst people.
Yeah. The guy who went on to be Spock,
and,
among other things.
And then he came out and he did that. And people are like, oh my God, I thought I was going to hate him, but I love him. And I said, yeah, that's because he's an incredible actor.
Yeah.
He made you hate him there. And now he made you believe he's Spock. And he that's incredible.
Yeah. Like
those guys that come out and make you hate them in wrestling, they're really good actors because no one wants to have someone hate them and have children throw things at them.
Right.
If they're given that role and they go, okay.
Yeah.
And they do it and it works. You're like, wow. You know, not everyone can do that. I mean, people can be mean, but to be hated every day and be mean every day, you come out, you're never the hero. You're always the heel.
Russian wrestling character in the 80s.
Of course. And you're just like, you know, either you lose your mind or you are that person, you know, or you're a good actor. So I don't know. You just got a text message that your purchase is on its way. I like how Amazon now has upped the ante to now they're telling you how many stops away they are. And I'm like, man, they've kind of ruined the world of delivery.
Well, that your 4 stops away thing comes with a price, though, because that means it's not being delivered by UPS or FedEx or I never thought I would say this, but the United States Postal Service, who turns out to be a great last mile delivery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I first started getting shipments and it would say the U.S. Postal Service, I would think there's no way in hell that's getting here in 2 days.
But
what they do is they ship it basically to your local post office, and then your local post office handles the door delivery. And it's like, actually, those are the most reliable ones out of the whole bunch.
They've been doing that for a while.
And they do it on Saturdays, you know?
Yeah.
But But whenever I see the dreaded AMZ and the tracking number, my heart sinks.
That's a station wagon with someone.
Well, maybe, maybe something. Not. Okay, so a little background on this. Amazon in this area used to use another third-party delivery company called LaserShip. And I had nothing but problems with LaserShip because
they got outsourced to India, didn't it?
Well, they got outsourced to people that possibly had criminal records that were doing the delivery. And these people were getting paid by the piece for delivery, so they had a strong motivation. What would happen is in order to reach the targets of delivery time, they would click that it was delivered when it really wasn't. And you might the dude who did that might drive around with your package for like another 2 or 3 days before bringing it back because he's trying to make it
game the system.
And he'll wait till he gets a few packages in your area to deliver them all rather than the way they're supposed to. Anyway, they dropped this, but then they started their own service. And the weird thing is that I've seen them deliver, and you're going to get one of two things when it's Amazon. You're going to get somebody that pulls up in a van that has an Amazon logo on the side of it, and they're going to have like an Amazon jacket and Amazon hat on, and they're going to look like a delivery service.
They're kind of like a sponsored person.
They're like, or they're employed. They look like they're employed by Amazon. And
I haven't seen one of them.
I've gotten them a couple times. And then the other thing you're going to get is like some dude in a station wagon from the 80s that looks like he might be casing your neighborhood, driving really slow and pulling up and stopping and then pulling up a little further and stopping. And it turns out he's just trying to figure out if he's where he's supposed to be because he's delivering your package.
And that's when you hear my gun cock a little bit. You're like, okay, what's going on here?
Now, for me, the reason that Amazon is challenging is because I live in a private community. And what that means is that my roads are not quite as well documented as the rest.
Uh-huh. Right, because it just goes back and
I mean, you look on Google Maps, you can see all my roads. When you look on Microsoft's version of that, and I don't even remember what it's called, you can. Apple's, you know, thing has my neighborhood. Obviously, UPS and FedEx have known my street numbers and house numbers and all that crap forever. But for whatever reason, wherever Amazon has sourced their mapping data, which they can't just go steal it from Google, you know, like they have to actually pay for this.
Yeah.
They don't have a good representation of my neighborhood. And I've actually dealt with a couple of people from Amazon, and supposedly they fixed it. What they said was that on their mapping data, it put me my exact location in what is actually a creek out beside my community.
So they've just been throwing your stuff in the creek.
And well, here's the thing is that you can tell, like there's names and numbers and stuff. Like if you look around where I am, if you do it the old fashioned way, which is here, let me give you my address and whatever. And you pull in and you go, okay, I'm looking for, you'll see it. But what these guys do is they come in and go to exactly where their little GPS thing tells them to go.
And that's it.
And there's no house there, so they just leave.
Oh, my God. That's brutal.
And they supposedly fixed it. They said they manually went in and moved my marker to where I am. They looked me up on Google Maps. We had a conversation over the phone, and they're like, if I put it here, will that work? And I'm like, yes.
Yes. I felt it tap me in the head, the little arrow thing. I got it now. We're good.
And after that, their success rate went up to probably about 80%, but still, every time I see it, it's like, oh, I may be getting that 3 or 4 days late, or it may be coming by UPS or FedEx next week after they give up.
See, right here, like they just, they don't even ring the doorbell. They just kind of throw it at my door and leave.
Yeah, they may not even get out of the car. They may do it newspaper style.
Exactly. All right, we'll delve into this in a little bit. Let me drop some music and we'll be right back.
Would you mind not shooting at the thermonuclear weapons? We'll be right back.
name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
Oh my god, that was, of course, the Bat from the official The Bat fan club. I played Green Hornet, Perversion, and The Fly. And boy, I like when those gals scream in your face. Reminds me of the TV in Japan. It's I gotta tell you, you know, there's many things I love about Japan. Mostly everything. But one of my favorite things about Japan is the TV. It is it's like my brain was put in a box and you watch it. Like, it's just insanity. You don't know what's gonna happen. Nothing has any logic applied to it, really. And all the advertisements there, they're like, the underlying theme is, why say something when I can scream it in your face?
Go buy now!
And usually there's some kind of half-dressed chicks in the back, and there's a dude in a suit, and he's just screaming at your face. Or a girl's like going, hee-hee, you should buy now. Buy now! And that's it. And you're like, yeah, I should go buy that now. It's very effective. I really enjoy it. Anyway, make sure you go to the...
See, but if that were happening here, everybody would be like, see, this is what our society has come to. They'd be pointing to that as like the making downfall. The case for the fact that Idiocracy is really happening.
We're in Japan, you're like,
and yet we look at Japan and they're like, they're awesome.
Of course they do that. Why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I think about those old commercials, you know, that website that had celebrities, you know, commercials celebrities don't want you to see because they're foreign, and the worst offenders are all Japanese, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger
oh,
ones.
Yeah.
And
Woody Allen. Yeah. Like, oh my God. So it was very, very fun. One of the things I always kind of thought about, and I guess it's a good thing, but now that it's... Okay, I'm trying to frame this correctly. You know how Subway had $5 footlongs?
And that then, actually weren't a foot long.
And, well, but
that's
anyway,
why they trademarked footlong, because it's not
then,
two words.
Yeah, then they also... Now that then they hit a problem where they're losing money, and they're in a corner, because now everything seems expensive, even though they've raised it $1.
Yeah, $6 footlongs.
Yeah. And everyone's like, well, I'm
that's
not
a lot more
that.
Than $5. $5 yeah. was half of 10.
They
Six
painted
is more
themselves
than
into a corner.
Well, they painted their franchisees into
yeah.
a corner.
But then that's kind of how I'm seeing Amazon with shipping. Now, look, it's great. I can click something on a Sunday morning, and either Sunday night or Monday, I'm getting whatever stupid thing I want. That's great. But in my head, I expect that. And that's crazy, because you shouldn't expect that from every interaction. Like, oh, I'm going to go online and order some shirts. Well, they better be here in a day. And you're like, well, I got to make these things. Like, no one can keep up with that. And not no one can keep up with it. It's kind of setting almost an unrealistic expectation to me.
Yeah, it now, does.
It's a positive thing. Don't get me wrong. It's great. But I also use logic where I don't expect everything to be that. But I don't trust society to think everything isn't going to be that, like, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, because I don't think Amazon is painting themselves into a corner as much as you might think, as much as they are eliminating the competition.
No, that's, because, I mean, like, not them. They're not painting. I mean, shipping anything has been raised to a bar where you're like, well, it's going to be here in 20 minutes, right?
Well, you have Amazon Prime, and they're like, you order over a certain amount of a certain type of thing, and they'll deliver it the same damn day. You know, you go to compare it, and you go to someplace else, and you're like, okay, this is a couple bucks cheaper, but the earliest I can get this is in 3 days, and they'll charge me an extra $20 for my shipping if I want it that fast. Screw that.
Yeah, and everything's trying to keep up with it, and nothing can.
And Jeff Bezos is like, ha, 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 my evil plan is coming to fruition.
I know.
You know.
It's a part of it's like, what a wonderful world we live in. I can order fluorescent bulbs, and they're going to be here before I get back from the local supermarket. But it's like, I don't know, man. You know, that's one of those weird things where we expect stuff, and just like how we expect instant answers from a phone, more and more our society is kind of enveloped by right now or shut up.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that with Amazon, especially about going to the grocery store, because I was actually having a conversation with someone today, and they were talking about how when they go into Publix now, it's almost impossible to avoid somebody trying to push, we could have delivered this for you. you know, like Publix apparently, and I don't shop at Publix that much. I mostly because I have a difficult time getting there while they're open.
Oh yeah,
because that's
yeah.
how my life is. I have to go to someplace that's open 24 hours.
Being someone who lived on second shift, First shift is for chumps. You can keep it. I pine for the days when I was 11 to 8.
You didn't have to take time off to go to a doctor.
Everything was simple.
Yeah. Oh, look, I got a recall notice on my car. No problem. I'll take it tomorrow.
I'll wake up a little early.
Yeah. Take it tomorrow and then go to work.
Oh, my God. My version is it's an albatross around your neck. Anyway, go ahead.
Except for weekends, you know, like your friends want to do stuff Friday night and you can't, and then Saturday, you know, like or they're like, yeah, let's go out and do this thing Saturday morning. You're like, yeah, no.
Yeah, but I fixed second shift, so it was
nice.
Anyway, yeah. Go ahead. So go ahead.
You know, we were talking about, it, and he's like, well, you know why they're doing that? And I was like, well, enlighten me. And he's pointed out, you know, it's like with Amazon and what they're doing with when they bought Whole Foods. He's like, Amazon is basically pushing, you know, they've already bought a pharmacy. They're basically pushing to eliminate a store footprint for these kinds of things. And he's like, you know, in a big part of the country, ours especially, Publix is the gold standard. They are the entrenched. Yeah. Well, I mean, Walmart is technically the largest grocer in the world, but
where are you going to go?
Yeah. I mean, but when you have a choice.
But you go to Publix. I put on pants. I'm going to Publix.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Publix is where you go when you don't feel like it's okay to shop in pajamas. Or when, unlike me, you can go during normal grocery shopping hours. Exactly.
I'll pay the extra $1.50 and see people with pants on. I don't know. Yeah. I'm a snob.
It's nice to be able to go down an aisle and not be blocked by a pallet and six guys, you know, stalking. Yeah, at all hours. Because that's the one thing that Walmart that gets me is it doesn't matter what time of day or night you go there. Yeah. There's some place you can't get to because they're doing something.
Can't get there from here.
Like, you guys can't do this at 3 a.m. Like, why are you, you know, like, it's like construction, you know? Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, you know, he was pointing out that essentially their Publix is trying to get on board with this early because they've seen what's happened. They've seen what Amazon has done to other markets, and they're like, you know, and he was pointing out, you know, the challenge with a grocery store is that they have this huge floor space that's set up for browsing and shopping. He's like, but what kind of space do you actually need if you don't have a customer walking in? Do you really need a grocery section set up the way it's set up if you have a trained person who knows how to get to stuff or has a system that will?
Well, they're already hiring, you know, they're already hiring people to do shopping for them.
Yeah.
I know, like, Target's experimenting with that where they have shoppers.
Yeah.
And they shop. And they put them in bags, and they deliver it or whatever. And you're like,
the thing he was pointing out, though, is that you don't need as much space because you don't really need a showroom for your stuff when it works that way. And that's the advantage that Amazon automatically comes in with is that they don't have to have a location in a prime desirable spot.
Yeah.
Because they're going to bring it to you.
Yeah.
So it can be in an industrial area that you would feel funny going into to buy your groceries. And they don't need as much square footage, so the costs are a lot less, potentially. Yeah. And
robots and bear belts are doing a lot of it.
And his It was funny because we were talking about this, and the ultimate conclusion is we're probably going to see a lot of grocery stores converted to storage unit locations in the upcoming years. And it was just weird to think about, you know? Yeah,
and I don't want to...
And I buy stuff from Amazon now. Like, I'll go on there and start looking, and I'm like, well, how can I get this today? And then it dawns on me after 15 minutes of looking for the one that they can do same-day delivery with if I get enough stuff in my basket. Yeah. Like, oh, I could just go to a store and buy it today.
Yeah.
Like it's so weird that I don't – like, my first thought isn't even, oh, there's a Home Depot down the street that has this. Amazon. Or I could even go to Walmart if I feel like rolling the dice on life.
God.
Like, it's not even my first thought anymore. It's like, I'll just get it shipped to my home.
I don't want a world with no grocery store. And that sounds, I mean, that's like probably fuddy-duddy. I found like an old man. I do want some physical stores. I don't want to have things just delivered all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Maybe it's just I'm a quaint, like old-fashioned. But like, I don't know. Get up and go somewhere. Like, go to the store. You can go to the store. That's just getting food. You can buy food,
but,
you know.
But the weird thing to think about with that, though, is it's not a new concept exactly. No. I mean,
Amazon's just killing
it. Well, if you think about it, it's kind of there. What's happening with this is another example of technology sort of leveling the playing field on the quality of living.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the upper level of society has not gone grocery shopping in maybe 100 years right. or more. You know, right. they've had personal shoppers. They've had staff
people
that have done
doing
that.
Yeah.
And really, so this isn't really a new thing. It's essentially an opportunity for something like that that's now trickling down to
trickle down economics. It was the 80s all along.
It's a technology that's actually bringing things that used to be only available to the super wealthy to us. So it feels weird, but maybe it's not. But I agree with you. It does.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, hold on. Here's some music. We'll be right back.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly.
Bye. what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a hat, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
Oh my God, that was the 5678s. We all knew it. I knew it. You knew it. We all knew it. That was from their a very obscure one called Pinheel Stomp. I played Pinheel Stomp, Dancing Avenue A, one of yours truly's favorite. And hey, mashed potato. Hey, that was one I was really excited when I got a hold of that one. That's one of my favorite little.
Man, I just remembered a topic. I'm gonna tease it for next week.
Ooh, wow!
For one of the two shows, we're gonna talk about my adventure trying a juicer.
You should have not bought a juicer. End of topic. I bought a juicer and I drank some juice and I was like, you know, I don't really like juice anymore. I like food, which is apparent by my waistline and my morbid obesity. But, you know, I like that whole, there was like this craze for, well, we'll save it for next week.
There was
a juicer craze that took over the world and we fell party to it like it was an Indian scam. And India scam, sorry. And
Foreman
grills of your computer. And juicers.
Hey, you know? Foreman grills, I still swear by those suckers. Foreman grills great for grilled cheese.
The only one, I had a Foreman grill that was the early model that didn't take, the plates wouldn't come out.
Mm.
And it was terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm sure once they fixed that, it was probably all good. So yeah, I'm trying to think what we had. Oh, so we were just talking about Amazon. And
the lean, mean grilling machine.
I guess.
I think that was the tagline.
I guess that was, we were done with the whole Amazon thing. I do have a lot of mixed feelings about it because it is a very handy thing. And you know, if you live like you live in a rural area,
well, until the Department of Justice splits them up for monopolistic behavior, we'll take it.
Do you think that's a possibility? It could. They got to be close, right? Like,
it's hard to say because I mean,
man.
Well, I mean, you know, they're getting ready to get into pharmacy stuff now. I mean, it's all really
pharmacy can't be. No, I know they're going to, but. Well, I guess I shouldn't. There's my old mentality again. Like, they're talking about doctors. What that one, our parent company left where we used, they used, our parent company sold our company because they were getting onto online doctoring, online doctor stuff. So that is probably the way of the future.
But I mean, the thing, and the thing about with Amazon is that for the most part, there have been a few practices they've done that might have been seen as predatory in terms of hurting competition. But by and large, the majority of the things that they do could be viewed as good for consumers at this point because they are making things more convenient and bringing prices down in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a iffy thing. They're not quite doing some of the things Walmart has done yet. And they've publicly said that, you know, they're comfortable with very low margin. They make it up in volume, basically. A lot of their businesses, they don't expect to make 20%. They're okay with a 5% return because that means they just have to sell more to make more money.
Yeah.
Which is something that most traditional businesses nowadays balk at. As long as they don't get to a point where they decide to flip the switch and start
Upping it and going back.
Because now they've wiped out. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing to watch for there.
If they wipe everyone out, then they just start raising it. Because that's one thing I'm...
Because a lot of what they're doing is just really leveraging their ability, and it's hurting their competition, but that's called open market.
I know. And I should be a proponent of it because I'm the first one that stands up and says, you know, salaries have been flat since the 70s, except our buying power is now one-third of what my parents' were. You know, and like the reality of it is there is no middle class anymore. We just keep thinking there is one.
Yeah.
Now I'm not poor me. But,
right.
But reality is reality. If you look at the right graphs, we're in real trouble.
Yeah.
The middle class is really not quite what they were. And we're trying. We're all trying. We all believe. We still believe in the gold watch, but that's not reality. So any place that sells cheaper and keeps prices down, I should be all hail because that's part of what I rally against sometimes. And I'm not a real conspiracy nut, but it's out there. That information's out there. When you compare what buying power is from the 70s and how basically it's flatlined since that, except for...
But on the flip side, though, you know, when Amazon goes into a market and a retail location closes, that's the minimum wage workers, that's the lower management, upper management, and the regional executives.
Everyone.
And what are they being replaced by is low wage factory or warehouse workers now. So
yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Oh, we ended on a downer note. I am very sorry about that, but that's okay.
But we're talking. We may be moving to a post-capitalist society faster than we expected, though. When you get to a point where systems are so efficient that they don't need people to do it anymore, and there's no longer the ability for people to afford to buy the things made by those systems, we're looking at a major shakeup.
Yeah. Soylent Green is made of people. Okay, this has been Slow Robot Go, or this has been Saki Mama Go Go. My name is Malvin, as always.
Promi.
We'll see you next week with more upbeat topics, maybe.